welcome to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, and I invite you to turn to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Reading verses 24 to 27, just four verses of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. God bless to us this reading out of his own holy, blessed, and inspired word. God has one plan for the redemption of mankind. And through the ages, he calls men of faith and obedience to fulfill that plan. The passage we have just read refers to the calling of the greatest of leaders of men ever on this earth. The calling of Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt. The greatest undertaking ever on planet Earth by one man of God's calling. See, dear friends, there is no greater honor, no greater privilege than to be called by God to be his servant. Tonight we are here on a very special occasion to come and witness and encourage our brother Ken Singh as he has answered that call to serve the Lord. And I say this, dear friends, tonight there may be some among you who may also hear that call, the greatest call that can come to any man. When the Creator, God Almighty, condescends to come down and to speak to poor human beings such as we are, and say, come, follow me and serve me. Moses was such a man. Verse 24 says, by faith. You respond to the call only by faith, dear friends. Not by human reasoning, not by considerations of any kind on earth. But when God calls, we must respond in faith and by faith. Moses did when he was come of years. Remember Moses, how he was drawn out of the water and God preserved his life and used the daughter of Pharaoh who had passed the sentence of death on all the boys of Israel in Egypt and put him even into the lion's den, as it were, to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine it? How would you like to be brought up a royal prince, educated and cultured in the highest learning of the time, in the greatest power of the time? But it says here, verse 24, by faith, thank God, the parents had instructed him in the things of God. Moses, you are one of God's people. He remembered that. I said, dear friends, if you are one of God's people, God may be speaking to you tonight. The world will pass away. Egypt will pass away. Those things you see today that are so gripping, attractive, and enticing, all these things will pass away. Moses saw through the glitter and the glamour of Egypt. Verse 24, please see, by faith. Moses saw through the vanity and the emptiness of the royal court of Egypt. And refused to continue. 40 years in the royal court was followed by another 40 years in the wilderness. Moses' training took him 80 years, during which time God dealt with him. Continue to read, please. Verse 25. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, indeed. If you know the call of God, say, here am I, Lord, take me. Use me, dear friends. What are you doing with your life? I say, in this day and age, far more than in the day of Moses, 3,500 years ago, even then he saw through. There is nothing on earth worth your living and dying for. And so he chose rather to suffer affliction because he saw beyond the affliction. Dear friends, today may God speak to us all here tonight to see that our future is not in the things that are being done by our very prudent and wise government. Yes, they have done all their homework, research, all their sums, and they are sure with this new development on the island and on the bay, things will look up and everybody will have a piece of the cake, as it were. I say congratulations to them. They got it right. As far as the worldly ideas are concerned, as far as political considerations are concerned, they got it right. But tonight, dear friends, our future is not in Singapore, nor in any other part of planet Earth. Your future is beyond Singapore, beyond planet Earth. We all must see so clearly the Lord who called Moses is coming soon to take an account of all that is on earth. On that day, may I tell you, inform you very seriously, the Lord is not going to ask you, hey, how great projects you've done. Did you do it successfully and make the billions for Singapore? Oh, what a great engineer or architect you have been. What good service you've done for the country. All those things will fizzle into nothing. Only one thing. What have you done for the everlasting kingdom of God, dear friends? That is all that matters. And this is why we're here tonight. To listen to the irresistible call of God. How wonderful. You stop a while and consider. Why should the Creator God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, come down and talk to me? As Moses was in the wilderness, in the back of Midian, looking after sheep, that day God came to speak to him. How wonderful. Maybe you say, I wish God would speak to me out of a burning bush. Dear friends, God does not do things twice of that nature. Those very rare things happen once only. God does not have to repeat it for your benefit. No, dear friends. God speaks to every one of us in a different way. For me, it was 1935. Dr. John Sung at a meeting in Teloaye Methodist Church. There I heard the voice very clearly. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? Can you? Of course you can't. But to gain a slice of the world, a big portion of the world, and feel so good, and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? At 10, that message came to me, so gripping, so real, so penetrating, you don't resist. I said, Lord, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That day I gave my life to the Lord. 3 years later, we followed the good doctor to a place in Malaysia. Some of you may come from near there, a place called Muar, not far from Batok Pahat, where we live. And there on that morning, the good doctor says, young men, young women, how many of you here will consider that the Savior who died for you has worked for you? And you are willing, even now, to say, Lord, here's my life, take it. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my days and all my hours, I give to you, Lord, because you have died for me. 1938. Hands up. Yes. No hesitation. I thank God I did not, like Moses, find all kinds of excuses, you know. We are going to look into that in a moment. But thank God the Spirit of God spoke, touched the heart and said, indeed, if my Savior could forsake heaven's glory for me, what is it for me to forsake my future, whatever career, and follow the Lord Jesus? Oh, my friends, God has a plan and only one plan. And God has a use for only men. Only men. Men of faith. You know, God doesn't use those mighty angels, those creatures which are so powerful to come and do His work. Not at all. And God's plan is sinners such as you and me come to the Savior who died for you and return that gospel debt. Repay it. That is the call. And I say that call is irresistible. Brother Ken Singh took 17 years serving the world in the field of engineering. At the end of the time, God spoke to him. Yes, thank God for the response. And once you respond, I say, no turning back. No turning back. Oh, my friends, please, let's continue. Verse 26. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Our group is going to follow in the Life Church tradition to go to the Holy Land in September. And one of the things we are going to see are the treasures in Egypt. Amazing treasures. 5,000 years old treasures are all there. We are going to see. Moses saw those things and he says, so what? My friends, pray that God will give you the Holy Spirit to illumine your understanding, to see through those things, to see beyond those things. You can have the best of the best on earth, but one day you have to part with them. You got to say goodbye to them. And then what? Moses saw beyond those things. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all that you can have in Egypt. Again, I want to remind you, Egypt at that time was the superpower of the world. the greatest civilization, the greatest power. And Moses was a royal prince. If he had just sat tight, bided his time, in no time he'll become the Pharaoh, you know. Ah, is that worth it? Why not? You become the greatest power on earth, the most powerful man. Thank God. I say thank God for Moses' parents. Both of them were godly people, and they instructed Moses. Moses, from the time before he went to live with daughter Pharaoh, you are part of God's people. You are of the chosen race. God has a plan for you. And I say, dear friends, anyone here who names the name of Christ, I say the same to you. You are part of God's people. Call yourself a Christian. What for? Not just for adornment. Fashionable in parts of the world to be called a Christian today, born again. Everybody is born again. It sounds good. But there must be a price to wear the name of Christ. And here, Moses saw through. Not in the royal court, nor in the great country of Egypt, but he saw, my future is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this? Can you say this, dear friends? Receiving salvation free by grace through faith is very good. But I say that free salvation carries a price. And that price is your gospel debt has to be repaid. Are you? Consider this, dear friends. We are saved. Not to go free, but all of us are born slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sooner you recognize that you are just a servant and you have a job to be done, and at the end of it, recompense. Where does it say so? Verse 26. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For, wow, this is it. This makes it reasonable, you know. Read on, please. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God showed it to him by eyes of faith. You don't see it now. But you know God has promised you are going to the promised land. All of us are going to the promised land. What is there in the promised land? All that you can think of, and more than you can think of, where eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter into the heart of man, those wonderful things that God has prepared for them who love him, for them who serve him. And Moses considered those things. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Think of this. Yes, we serve Christ not for the rewards, but Christ our Lord is never unfair. He calls you to glories beyond that you can never imagine. But that is part of God's plan. Do you know that? So I say again, dear friends, think of how we are repaying that gospel debt. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of a king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It is not easy to just say, I'm going. No. Why? Because the Pharaoh will take note of it. And by the way, when he came to see the Pharaoh, he was an adversary to the Pharaoh. And how dare you, one of the slave people, oppose the great king? Ah, but friends, when you have the King of Kings on your side, what does it matter? Pharaoh, Hitler, the great king, whoever he is, the most powerful in the world today. Who is he? Ah, my friends. Think of this. Have respect unto the recompense of the reward that is with God, and He will give to everyone who will come and serve Him in spirit and in truth. Now, just for your refreshment, turn quickly to Exodus chapter 3, and we are going to enjoy the calling of Moses, and it may help us, some of us here, to consider, instead of finding excuses, to come to the Savior and say, Lord, thank you for calling me. Are you? Exodus chapter 3, the encounter with God at the burning bush on that wonderful day. Moses tending his sheep as usual, but that day it was not business as usual, because that day was going to be the turning point in his life. There he was in the desert and he saw this burning bush. What's wrong with the burning bush? It's very often you can see burning bushes in the hot summer day in the bush area. Anytime you can see a burning bush, but this bush burned but never consumed, just the same. Amazing, a supernatural phenomenon. And then out of the bush, God spoke to him. The Lord Jesus spoke to him and said, Moses, Moses, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Verse 7, and the Lord began to tell him, how wonderful when God shares His plan with man. When God deigns and condescends to tell Him what He is going to do to you. He said, thank you, Lord. Listen to what it says. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them. Amen. God on the move is an awful spectacle and awful experience for any man. When God is on the move, I say, watch out, take care, and be sure you are on God's side. Here Moses was still arguing in the carnal man. In the flesh he had found all kinds of excuses. Why God should not call me? Why me? Why? The first excuse, verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I? I'm a nobody. I said, praise God if God calls you and you recognize that you are nobody. That is the first step. True? Oh yes. The problem with people is they're too proud, full of self. And anyone who is full of self, God cannot use. Here Moses says, who am I? I'm nobody. Praise the Lord. And God says, right, that you're nobody. But I am with you. Second excuse. Verse 13. Moses said to God, when I come to my own people, and they ask me, who sent you here? You say, God. They ask me, who is he? What am I to say to them? Third excuse. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses found another excuse. Are you also inventing excuses? If God is calling you? Verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses said, they will not believe me. What's the use of my going? My friends, when God sends you, whether they believe or not, that is not your business. Your business is go and be a messenger of God. Whether they believe or not, that is God's business. God will take care of that. Alright, God takes care of that. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I am not eloquent. I'm not well educated. My tongue is slow, and if I speak, they say, where, who is this country bumpkin? What are you talking about? So, Lord, don't call me. Finally, verse 12, verse 13. Moses said to God, Lord, not me, Lord, not me. Find somebody else. My dear friends, when God calls, He not only calls, but He enables, and He goes with you, even as the Lord Jesus. Do you remember the day when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven and called His disciples and said, go and be my witnesses. And lo, what did He say? My grandfather always told me when I was 6 years old, the most precious verse in the whole Bible for you, little boy, is Matthew's last chapter, last verse. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's the most precious verse, and this is exactly what God said to Moses. Moses, I know you are nobody. I know you're not eloquent. I know you're afraid. Doesn't matter, but I am with you. And I say, that makes the difference. Tonight, may God speak to our hearts, that we all consider there is so much to be done in this day and age. In that time, 3,500 years ago, it was urgent. Why? God's timing was up to everything. There is a season, a time to every purpose. The time had come, Israel must leave Egypt. And someone must lead them, but God is with that person. God will lead them. Praise the Lord. God has His timing. God has His man. Are you willing? When God called me in 1938, I never forgot that. 38, well, I was still in school, of course. Then came the war. This is a part of history, but it is part of my testimony. I want to tell you. We went through the war. What war? The Japanese war. Nobody ever expected the Japanese could make war. All we know is that they make toys. And they sell them in 10-cent stores and they last 10 days and the toys break up. Can such a people come and make war with the greatest empire of the world? The greatest British Empire? We never knew. We learned. December the 8th, 1941, those 10-cent stores disappeared. But out of the sky, 10-cent bombs came down. Very effective bombs, I tell you. Even though made in Japan, very effective. And in 70 days, the greatest power on earth capitulated to the bicycle army of Japan. Can you imagine it? Can you believe it? But I say, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. The time had come for British to collapse and for the Japanese to come up. So for 3.5 years, exactly 42 months, all of us, I think none of you, almost none of you, had gone through that period. Every day studying Nippongo. Every day. Until the Americans dropped two bombs and then everything reverted back to square one. Now I want to tell you what this thing reminded me of. The last day of the bombing and the shelling was February 14th, 1942. The last day. On that last day, one shell hit our neighbor next to us and went bang. And the master of that house lost a leg. Wow, so close to us. I said to my sister, you know, God is so good. If that shell had come just a few feet closer to us, we might have lost our lives or lost our legs also. God spoke to me, forget not the vow. You've made a vow to serve the Lord. Remember to pay that vow. I said, of course, Lord. I know it, 1938, never forget. is in my memory imprinted there. And I say, there is no better thing that happened in my life than that day when my hand went up and I said, Lord, I promise you, and never to go back on that promise. 1938, then 1942, reminder, hey, if that shell had hit you, you won't be here today. Right. Back to school. After that, career, KK Hospital. 1968, exactly 30 years after Moa. Can you follow? 30 years. At that time, you have to consider and choose between the royal house of Pharaoh, as it were, and the reproach of Christ. Which will you choose? 1968, the choice was to follow the Lord or to continue in the university as professor of the department. Friends said to me, what a fool you are. You got 20 more years to continue in the chair as a professor. All the honors and the prestige and the glamour goes with it. 20 more years. Why you give up? What for? I say, I did not fear the wrath of the vice chancellor. He called me to his office and said, hey, why did you tell me you want to resign? And he gave me a 1-hour lecture why I should not resign. I said, dear friends, I told him, I got nothing against you, nor the university, but I got a higher calling. When God calls, men cannot refuse, dear friends. That call is irresistible. So 1969, I stepped out of university forever, once and for all. 1970, God called us in a way I cannot explain. I said to my brother, I was an elder in Life Church, very comfortable. I can enjoy myself there and do not too much and enjoy life, right? But God called and said, look, follow me to a place I will show you in the far west of Singapore called Jurong. Wow. So a group of us took off, not knowing where we were going, except that we were obeying the call of God. I said, dear friends, the mystery of the call of God is to be experienced and not to just sit in the armchair and listen to somebody else. You experience it. If God should call you, don't refuse. We went. Today, from the day we went to Jurong town, the Lord has opened up a mission field that is global. Did we know there was going to be such an opening? Answer is absolutely not. How could we know? We didn't know even a thing. We never started to plant a church. But we went and then came Calvary Jurong. 5 years later, Calvary Pandan. Then another 10 years later, Calvary Tengah. All these things, God opened the doors. Only because you are willing to take the first step and say, Lord, here am I. Take my life. I will follow. You call me. That call is the greatest honor, the greatest privilege, the greatest blessing that can ever come to my life. I say, I have no regrets. Only daily rejoicing. No regrets, but rejoice. Yes? So I say, every day serving the Lord is better than the day before. I always tell my wife, you know, I do the same things I did 40 years ago. And many of the things I do in the church, I do better. Those days when I began to preach, it took me 15 to 18 to 20 hours to prepare one sermon. Wow. Well, you didn't have the benefit of theological training. What do? Take your books and commentaries and just crack your head and take all the time. Today, I don't need the 20 hours, much less. But I say God has a plan. God is calling more people, more men of faith to go serve Him in a mission field. I'm sorry for this bad voice. This was caught in Toronto in my last trip. 2 days of snowstorm. I just came from hot Singapore into that snowstorm and it got into my throat. Now my friends keep dosing me with fisherman's friends. It's quite good. It's improving. Don't you think I'm improving? So, dear friends, it is so good to share experience. The Lord is calling, and today I'm so happy for Kian Sing that he has responded to the call, and I say, the more the better, but let the response be one of faith, as Moses, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he chose to suffer. By faith, he followed the Lord Jesus, and God used him, you know. No other person recorded in the Bible did God say, I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. And God says, this man is the most meek of all men. Wonderful. You respond and see what God cannot do with your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to the real issues today. Not how to make a better living, but how to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how to have our spiritual ears attuned to hear the call of God. To know that God today still calls for men and women to serve Him in the last of the last days, when great issues are at stake and we can do our part for the kingdom of God, the everlasting coming kingdom of light and righteousness. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.